Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Shintaro Higashi Show with Peter Yu. Today, we're going to talk about safe judo throws. There aren't any.
Before we go, talk about safe judo throws, shout out to Levan and Jason again. You know, thanks for your support. Guys. And today's episode, safe judo throws, was actually a suggestion from one of our patrons, Ammon. I hope I'm saying that right. But he basically wanted us to discuss the spectrum of safe judo throws. Mm-hmm. Like there would be like Kani Basami would be like extreme unsafe, and then you kind of answer the question, what would be on the other side of the spectrum? But we'll see. But for some, how to develop them, maybe some of the suggestions for novices and older people, you know. So that's what he wanted to hear. So let's dive into it.
So, you know, on the side of like everyone getting injured with certain throws, right? We're talking Kani Basami. Obviously, it's illegal in judo. Yeah. Tanya Toshi.
Yeah.
Definitely on the side of the more dangerous. And Makikomi. Tanya Toshi and Makikomi account for so many of the judo injuries that I've already seen in the past. And both those techniques are legal.
Yeah.
Right? And then Korean Seinagi was sort of one, but they banned that also.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
So I like it that the IJF is thinking about young people doing judo and then protecting them.
Yeah.
Right, I like that idea. Even like head dive Uchimoto is very dangerous. Mm. Not often that people get injured doing it, but when they do get injured with a head dive Uchimoto, they break their neck. So it's much more severe, you know? So all these techniques are dangerous, first and foremost, right? But really what it comes down to, like on the other side of the safer side, right, is like the likelihood of someone going for it and then succeeding.
Mm-hmm.
Succeeding not in a way of like actually cleanly throwing somebody, but like succeeding and taking them down, right? For instance, like Tanya Toshi, you could spam this thing and like relatively knock the person down with relative success, so people keep going for it.
Even when they shouldn't go for it.
Yes. So that it makes it dangerous to this fallen body, right? But something like Daishi Barai, which is very, very timing oriented, if you hit somebody with it cleanly, they don't see it coming, they don't know how to fall, bang, they could hit their head off.
Right.
But in the spectrum of judo, of like everyone should know how to fall properly, right? There isn't that big of a size or a physicality difference in you versus your partner. And the likelihood of you timing this thing perfectly, right? And the success rate of Daishi in just general judo in the gym, right? Makes it more of a safer throw.
I see. A lot of foot sweeps. Yeah.
Yeah, Daishi Barai, Kouchigari, Ouchigari. Okay?
Because you can't really spam these things.
You can, but like it's with not relatively gonna, yeah, like
the success rate is low if you just spam them.
Success rate is low, yes. Success rate is low, and then you're not throwing your body weight onto the person. And also, if you take into account the shape of your legs, anything when you're chopping the knees inward is very dangerous, right? Like, so if you do Tanya Toshi, Kosorogake, Osorogari, right? Knees are going inward. Mm. If you're going inside out, Ouchigari, Kouchigari, not as dangerous. Actually, you're bringing the legs inwards this way, but you're not going by the knees. You're attacking the feet and ankles, right? So it's less danger on the knee. Mm. You see what I mean?
So would you say novices should learn these throws first? Because that's not really the case, right?
No, I mean, everyone teaches Osoro first, which is like one of the hardest throws to actually execute. And it's one of the most dangerous because you're chopping the leg inwards. You see what I mean? I've seen an ACL tear, you know, 2 years ago at the dojo with someone went for a nasty Osoro.
Oh, gosh. Right? Yeah.
So, like, I don't really suggest teaching Osoro first right off the bat. And that should be, like, a systematic thing across the board.
Yeah.
You know? But no one really listens. Everyone just kind of does what they want to do. Even me, it's, like, so easy. Like, hey, you know, mechanically speaking, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Shift your opponent from both legs onto one leg, and then you're going to take that leg out from underneath and slam him, right?
Also, you use the whole body that it just kind of makes it more athletic and fun. You know what
And it encompasses all the parts of, like, you keeping your balance while taking theirs, right? And there's leverage involved and balance and coordination and core stability and all this stuff and execution, proper execution. There's a lot of things going on that makes it a good teaching tool. For you to actually do it in practice, it takes a very long time.
Right.
And if you're spamming it, the likelihood of you taking someone down is very low.
Right.
And just the risks are much higher.
Yeah.
Right? I'm kind of saying two different things here, but, you know.
Well.
The success rate, you know.
It's a subtle difference because Tanya Toshi, you can spam him, and then because you're using your whole body, success rate is relatively higher, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that's.
At the very least, you can knock them down.
It's very tempting. Very tempting. Yeah, very. It's like an easy way out, almost. Yeah.
And then when you're in a bad position, you can use it to escape that bad position. You're about to get slammed, right? You're throwing your body onto the ground.
And
you
just
and then
sit,
dragging him over this leg, you know? Obviously, when done properly, it's masterful.
Yeah.
But no one does it properly in the gym. You know what I mean?
So I know you, your old man judo series was very popular. So did you talk anything about like safety things? Because I remember you also talked about how to slow the pace down with like younger people, right?
Yeah, slow them down. We talked a little bit about countering. Yeah. Counter is a little bit safer, I guess. But, you know, judo is all dangerous because like if you're countering someone and then you lose your balance and you land on top of the person, there's rib injuries.
Right.
If the person puts their arm down, you land on top of them and then their arm injuries. There's just so many things that could potentially go wrong in like a fraction of a second because it's so dynamic and fast, you know?
Yeah.
At least with the foot sweeps, you're so far away. There's a distance,
mm-hmm.
right? So the likelihood of you getting entangled and then landing in this like entanglement, you know, hard to the ground, it's less likely.
Right, right, right.
Right? So dashi is a good one for safety, kind of. You know, of course, you could miss it and go a little bit too high. But if you teach it properly in a way where it's just timing oriented, you know, and you're not kicking the person. And I think that might be maybe the safest, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. Foot sweep, dashi.
Foot sweep, dashi.
Dashi, kochi, ochi, or,
right.
you know, even ochi, too. It could be, you know, if a person's doing taniatoshi as you're entering ochi, that could be dangerous.
Yeah.
Kochi makikomi, different from kochi gari or kochi gake. Right, so you have to distinguish.
I think actually, Emin kind of mentioned that kochi gari makikomi, kochi makikomi variation. Maybe that's safer. Do you agree with that?
Potentially. I mean, I've never seen anyone get injured by kochi makikomi.
Yeah.
You know, knock on wood. So I guess you could argue that. You know, that's kind of anecdotal. Yeah, kochi makikomi definitely safer.
Yeah. So it seems like a lot of foot sweeps like ashiwazas are safer.
Yeah,
but, you know,
timing based ashiwaza is safer. Heavy like physicality, like full throw power throws, right? Like throws that you could force.
Yeah,
you know, like a soto makikomi, you could hook a soto, just run him, right? Or you could drop senagi and then just run your feet and then just physically run them into the ground, right? Those are physicality based throws. Yes, there's certain aspects of timing. It's both. It's not either or. It's not mutually exclusive.
Right. Right.
Right. But like a pure foot sweep time, you know, fighting for hand position, snapping down kochi and then dayashi or sasai kochi dayashi, like those, that three shot that Suzuki did in Japan.
Oof.
Like that is so clean. And if you know how to take a break fall, it's freaking safer.
That's a beautiful, that everyone should look that up, that combination.
Yeah. Sasai kochi dayashi by Suzuki.
Yeah. Oof.
All Japan. Yeah. It was like the most beautiful combination I've ever seen in judo, you know? Will he be able to hit that exact combination? Unlikely, right? Because there's a reactive component to each one of those pieces.
Everything has to come together.
Yeah. Everything has to come together perfect. So it's not something that I would chase, but it kind of shows the masterful abilities of Suzuki, you know? Keiji Suzuki.
So,
right?
So moving on from the foot sweeps, like ashiwazas, then like, how about more popular throws, I guess, more your ippon throws like seoinage and uchibara, your harigoshi.
So I think like turn throws, bigger turn throws that are more popular, or even uranage too, right?
Yeah.
You could classify these throws like one-legged throws and two-legged throws, you know what I mean? Osotogari, you're on one leg, harigoshi, you're on one leg, uchibara, you're on one leg, sasai, you're on one leg, right? Versus like a taiatoshi, you're on 2 feet, two legs. Ogoshi, you're on 2 feet. Ippon Senagi, you're on 2 feet.
Yeah.
So when you have two legs on the floor, you're much more stable.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a little bit safer, obviously, for obvious reasons. You don't lose your balance and then fall onto the person. You have two legs rooted. Taiyo is a little bit more dangerous because your leg is outstretched underneath your opponent. And if they land on it, your knee, ankle, hip, one of those things can potentially hurt your
head.
You know? And you come in at an angle and then the person taking it, the knee can go over, your foot can get stuck.
Oof. Yeah.
Right? So like a general like clean ogoshi or koshiguruma where you're just pulling and then dropping your hips underneath and lifting, right? With both of your legs rooted to the ground, that's a little bit safer, I think. But I don't even want to say it's safe because if you have somebody loaded up on your shoulder and you're about to throw them, and they're kicking and trying to twist around, and then you lose your balance forward and their head hits the floor, you know, there's a risk there, right? But I think because of the stability, it's a little bit less dangerous.
So when you have two, rooted in your 2 feet, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe if you could do like a Kochi, Daishi, Ochi, Ogoshi, Koshiguruma only freaking judo. Yeah. And let's make it a little bit systematic here, right? Yeah. Where you go Koshiguruma to the right side and Ogoshi to the left side.
Right. You can go
so
back
and forth. So it doesn't require you to re-grip around the waist.
Yeah, yeah.
See? That could be a potentially super safe judo system that you could potentially use. You know? That could be my next YouTube video, actually.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. Safe judo system.
There we go. Like a brainstorming session. Together. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is relatively a safe throw.
Yeah. Well,
or system. Yeah.
Well, on the so now that you're thinking of making a video, maybe. So we try to classify like which throws are safer and whatnot and like, put them on the spectrum. But like ultimately, what can we do though? Like, I mean, this is such a. Almost like a dead horse now. Like we're like always talking about this, and we've talked about how BJJ has an edge over judo in regards to safety.
Yeah.
So, but the reality is, all of us love doing judo, and we like to do it in a safe way so that we can do it longer with more people, right? So, like, how should we approach these throws? Though ultimately, we have to do them.
I think it really does come down to my number one thing that I preach in judo. It's positional advantages.
Yeah.
Being in good position. You know, one of my students competed in the novice division. He sent me a video. Mm. And, you know, he knows all this stuff, but he was locked up 50-50, just ripping stuff and going for stuff. And they're scrambling and they're scrappy. And he thinks Osoto's coming and he gets right. And there's just so much stuff just going on at once. You know, it's just, it's so risky.
Too many variables. Right?
Too many variables. Yeah. You're at the mercy of the other person's athleticism, you know. So, my number one thing is like you have to be able to throw someone with no effort, taking physicality out of the equation. Let's just say there's like a like Rina's 100 pounds at the dojo, right? She's 100 pounds, the yellow belt. If you can do judo with her and take her down safely with zero exertion, now you're getting somewhere. Right, that's the idea.
Yeah.
You know, that if you can't do that, you suck.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be doing. You're not doing judo right.
Right, right.
You know, I shouldn't say that. It's kind of messed up. But it's true, right? If you're reliant on physicality always, then it's always going to be dangerous.
Yeah.
Because there's never a guarantee that you're the strongest, fastest, most athletic person in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you want to be able to fight from good advantages where the other person has no. Chance of throwing you, right?
Right.
You're at arm's distance. You have the sleeve. You have two hands on. They have maybe one hand on. They have no meaningful grips. They have no meaningful way of controlling your posture, right? You're creating movement. They're reacting, and then you're breaking their posture, and then you're leading them to the place where you could nicely time something perfect.
Yeah.
Kochi, whatever it is, right? And doing judo in that way is the most important thing, I think, to keep everyone safe. Right, so you could do judo without even breaking a sweat, really.
Right, so it's almost like a dance.
But it's almost like a dance where you're leading the whole time. You know exactly where this person's to be at all times, right? And there's no surprises.
Yeah, I think that's the key. Like, if you get surprised and taken down, you might get hurt, you know, because you're not ready
getting
for
hurt.
It.
Yeah, or when you're locked up 50-50, you have to guess. You have to, what's coming? Ochi coming? Osoto coming? I don't know what's going on. Is he going to go Sasai? And then, you know, the more you do it, the more you spend time in that position, the more you kind of have a feel for it, right? Most people just go for a terrible sotogari to try to force it, but it's very difficult to get unless they really master that technique, right? How to, the defense comes, how to adjust for it, how to feint it, how to do it with Sasai, all these things. So most people kind of guess right, you know? But yeah, when you're in good position, there's no chance of you getting thrown at all. That's where it's at, really. You know?
So you're like kind of, you're not even trying to classify which throws are safe or not. It's they have all elements of danger.
Daishi,
yeah, I mean, I guess.
You know, Daishi, Kochi, Ochi's a little bit safer, right? Because there's a little bit more control. You know, obviously like drop Ochi's a little bit different.
Right.
Even Tatoshi, it's like drop tile is a little bit different
always
than standing Tatoshi.
Like you're slamming on your knees. Pretty hard.
You know, drop tile, like I've always thought it would be really dangerous, and people are starting to do it with a lot of success. I haven't seen anybody get severely injured from it, But standing Taitoshi, but you know, people go for it a lot less also.
Right, right.
You know, there's going to come a time when someone, you know, high profile breaks their leg.
Jeez. Hopefully not. Yeah.
So someone's going to do it.
Yeah.
And it's going to show up on the internet sometime in the future. And then people are going to say, hey, all right, you know. It's only one time that someone injured, you know. But it's like, how many people are actually going for it?
Yeah.
It's not that common of a throw yet, you know. So.
Right.
I don't know, man. It's very risky.
But anyway, so they're all, every throw has an element of danger, you know. And but
for sure.
And then
for sure.
The idea is to kind of manage your risk by reducing the number of variables, and then the best way to do that is to work on your grip fighting and then systemize it.
Yeah.
So that you are in a good position, you're kind of in control of the situation.
Yes.
I guess that's what you learn, in throughout judo.
Yeah, but you know, no one focuses on it, and it's very difficult to teach.
Yeah.
And everyone's still teaching judo the same way that it's been taught. This is Osoto, this is Taiyo, this is Harai, right. Go for it. Take each other down, they lock up 50-50, and they're just going. You know, so until we change this, really kind of like make this the norm,
that
positional fighting is first and foremost. And, you know, people talk about this in jiu-jitsu, right? Control the leg first and, you know, positional first, then isolation of arm, whatever it is. Judo, it's a lot more difficult.
It's not, you just don't have enough time to really establish control in here and there.
Yeah. So, you know, I want to like be better at teaching it, I think.
How do you approach teaching that these days?
I mean, positional advantage stuff. You know, like, all right, 50-50, we're going to start, and we're going to try to gain position or cut the hand. Once you get position, you're going to hold it for 5 seconds, then you're going to show feints and then snap them down. Right? Okay, so...
You do a lot of drills of those? Like, it's just going back and forth?
I do a lot of these drills, yeah. You know, and I'm yet to, like, put it together for a kid that's going to be unbelievable to win championships, but that's not really the goal of my dojo either.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, it's a hobby gym, as most gyms are. And maybe one day, you know, all this stuff will come together and they're going to be champions pumping out. But who knows? Maybe. I'm working on it, kind of. You know, not really, but kind of.
So,
you know,
do they worry about this a lot? I'm curious, it's for my personal curiosity. On the BJJ side, do people worry about this a lot, like the dangerous moves, like submissions?
You know, it depends on the gym,
yeah.
You know? I did have somebody ask me at the gym today in jiu-jitsu this morning, like, hey, how come you don't throw everybody? Someone just asked me that. You know, and I said to them, like, hey, you know, we're not doing, like, full-blown drills where people are taking break falls and taking falls consistently. So if I throw somebody, they could land on their shoulder and they get injured, you know? And if someone fears getting taken down hard by me, they're not going to want to roll with me, right? So that's why I try to, like, minimize the takedowns. I let people work, but I'll never really, like, take them down, you know?
I'm curious, though, okay, what's the context around that question? Like, he or that person expected you to just bomb everyone, but you weren't? Was it like?
No, he's just like, at the end of the class, hey, can I ask you a question? I was like, sure.
Okay.
I didn't roll with him today either. He's like, why don't you just throw everybody? Like, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to learn and train jiu-jitsu.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I'm pulling guard, and I want to work open guard stuff, you know? And if I can sweep them, I can work top stuff, right?
See.
Yeah.
Shintaro leaves his ego out the door. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get passes and stuff all the time, you know? Yeah. But little by little, I'm making, you know?
Yeah. Improvements, yeah.
I'm learning. It's really fun to learn, man.
Yeah.
Really fun to learn.
Nice.
It's the best.
So I guess it's...
You got to do it safely. You got to do it safely.
So I guess it's not as explicitly, I guess not, I mean, we're talking about this because we don't really talk about this explicitly in judo either, but I guess it's a little bit of a different situation with BJJ, I guess. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's different, man. The positional advantage sticks a little bit better. Like, if you pass someone's guard and you're pinning them,
all the time in the world, pretty much,
Judo, like, you could have, like, a person's collar and head,
and
they don't have yours, it's gone.
Yeah.
In a very short time, it's gone.
Yeah.
You know? So, I think it's very difficult to do and understand in judo. It's just a very tough sport. I would say, like, to answer this guy's question, Iman. Dayashi probably is the safer one, but I'm not saying it's safe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's inherent danger in this sport. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Well,
Uranage is dangerous too.
Oh, that's it's a scary throw, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, scary throw. Uchimata is dangerous. You can land on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Everything's dangerous in judo, man. Come on.
How about in wrestling? Like when you're going through the ranks, you know, did they? Because I wrestled in high school too, and I don't remember this being like a big point.
No. Well, this is the thing. Freestyle wrestling, you could wrap a head and then rip it, and then the guy goes flying back, exposure points, right? Feet to back, you know, big throws are rewarded greatly.
I guess folk style kind of removed that because of this.
It removes all of it. So, like, you know, take the person down, riding them out, you know, so now it doesn't favor upper body throws because there's a risk.
Yeah.
If you miss it, you give up your back, you get taken down, you lose 2 points, right? So not a lot of guys are going for big throws unless they're down in points.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So a lot of guys are shooting in on the legs. It's a lot safer.
I mean, that's why it was changed, right? Like,
yeah, so that's why the collegiate style is there,
right?
And then also there's potentially dangerous. Your shoulder's kind of cranked out of the thing. Ref will blow the whistle, potentially dangerous. They do a restart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you lift them up, you're responsible. You can't slam them down and the guy gets injured. Like, then you get DQ'd.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So, like, all these rules make it a little bit safer. High school and collegiate wrestling. I'm not talking about freestyle wrestling.
Yeah.
Talk about wrestling in high school and college.
Yeah.
You know, although it is still dangerous.
So I guess judo has that. Like, you know, there's some band techniques, as we know. And I know that's always a controversial topic. But it's a hard balance.
Tough balance. Yeah. Judo's just the most dangerous one, I think, man.
I don't like it when people say, oh, they're ruining the sport, yada, like, as if, like, the IHAF is actually trying to, like, make judo fail.
They're conspiring to make judo, like, horrible.
Like, why would they?
They do the opposite of that. They're like, yo, we want to be more spectator-friendly, safer, just like the best sport in the world. We want all these different eyeballs on it. And it shows Judo Gallery has 1.2 million followers on Instagram now, right? Go follow Judo Gallery. They have the best, right, highlights now. And they finally did that right. It took them a long time, but they finally did it right. And then, you know, you got to keep the young youth who are coming into the sport. You got to keep those guys safe. So they should ban drops in Aggies, Tanya Toshis for certain age groups that make it across the board. Jiu-Jitsu is doing this now, too. You know, and where's the criticism for that? You know?
Yeah, I mean, also, you know, it has, like getting the pace up throughout the match. I think Gi BJJ got that kind of criticism a lot. Like, it was so boring to watch or something. Yeah.
50-50 locked up. They're not trying to give points for that anymore. Yeah. I think they're changing that, you know. Good, good.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember, like, when I was in college or high school, trying to find judo videos, man. It was so hard. It was like...
Yeah, so hard.
Now it's like HD quality with all the different cuts and slow-mo and, like, my God.
It's amazing,
it's great. Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, dude, yeah. So much more accessible now. It's great. They're doing a good job with this.
So. Anyway, so... In conclusion, I mean, all judo throws, of course, they're on the spectrum, on this safety spectrum, but they can be dangerous. So the key is to focus on your positional play so that you remove as many variables as possible. And don't, you know, try to look at some of the rules that are being implemented as, you know, some good safety measures, you know.
Yep.
I think, anything else?
Nope.
All right.
That's it.
All right. Thanks, guys. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.